At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Well, the good news Tuesday night is the Red Sox struck out Bubba Starling four times in four at-bats. The bad news is they couldn't stop really any of the other Kansas City Royals. It was a stink bomb from Andrew Cashner again, a 6-2 loss at Fenway. Is Cashner simply the right-handed, bushy-bearded Texas version of Eric Bedard, the guy you bring in to improve the narrative and instead he makes the narrative worse? Well, it's possible, but more problematic right now, the Red Sox are once again very close to being a 500 ball club. We'll get into it and try not to lose our composure. No promises. This is Sox Daily.
It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. Oh, it's your daily Sox podcast. And here's your host.
For some weird reason, the left field scoreboard has read not KC with the Royals in town, as we're used to. They've gone instead this series with K-City, which nobody calls Kansas City, but okay, K-City. And that was about right Tuesday night. The Sox struck out in big spots early. K-City. They gave up some home runs along the way, too. They struck out collectively in their attempt to simply beat a team that came in 33 games under 500. Not what you need when you're trying to chase down a wild card spot. Josh Lewin with you, and at least for the most part this season, the Red Sox playbook has been pummel the bad teams while doing squat against the good teams. 37-19 against teams under 500 while going 23-36 against anyone who's 500 or better. And with KC decidedly in that first category, and you've got them at home, for golly sakes, you got to beat them while you got them here. The Red Sox Monday night had won their eighth straight game against the Royals, their longest winning streak ever against that club. But Andrew Cashner did very little once again on the mound. Mookie Betts was hitless, as was JBJ, the top and bottom of the order, a combined 0-for-8, and a loss that keeps the Sox around six games out of the playoffs. I'm done talking about the eight-game losing streak, although it is now losses in 9 of 10. Since 2010, there have been seven playoff teams that have had losing streaks of at least eight games. Most recently, the 2017 Dodgers, who actually lost 11 in a row, although they did that at a time when they'd all but sewn things up. But that same year, the Rockies had an eight-game losing streak. They won the wild card, 87-75. But those 2017 Rockies, well, they were aided by the lack of really premium teams in the National League that year. It's doubtful that the Rays and the A's are just going to go away. They're both on pace for 93 wins. So, you know, the Sox are not going to get in the postseason with 87. If the Sox need even 90, they've got to go 30-16 the rest of the way. The Tuesday night loss means they're now two games under 500 at home. Compare that to the Yankees, whose home record is 43-18. Houston is 43-15, which is how it's supposed to go. Runs allowed last week and a half as the Sox have dropped these 9 of 10. I'll just roll through the numbers here. They're all high. 9, 6, 8, 9, 4, 9, 6, 7, 5, 6. And that's with a rotation that includes Sale and Price. No threes, no twos, no ones, no zeros. Everything's a 4 through 9. And you just can't win that way. You can't. The two games before all this, they won them, but they allowed 6 in both of those. The last time the Red Sox allowed as few as 2 runs in a game, I'm not talking about a shutout, just 2 runs in a game, July 18th, when they actually did shut out Toronto. But that's 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks without the pitching staff posting a 0, 1, or a 2. Cashner, 6 runs allowed, including a bunch more home runs. He lasted 5 1/3 innings. And as solid as he was as an Oriole, of all things, he's been a guy with an ERA of 8 as a Red Sox. So it's like he was a Red Sox in Baltimore, been an Oriole in Boston. At least he met the media after the game, and here you go.
Yeah, I thought I had good stuff. Made 3 mistakes. They had 3 home runs. It's kind of the way it goes. But, you know, this is a team that we got to beat. I got to be better.
Obviously, you've done a great job of living in damage.
I just think I just made too many mistakes and they've hammered them here when I've made them. But I think it's, pitched up here for a long time. So, I mean, this has probably been one of the toughest stretches of my career. But I just got to get back to what I do well and get back to that and get them on Sunday.
Obviously, you want to come to a new team and make a good impression. How tough
has
it been for you to just kind of struggle?
Yeah, it's been tough. I mean, I think over the course of my career, I've been good at limiting damage. I haven't done a good job of that since I've been here. Mistakes are too up in the zone. Haven't really done a lot of things well. But, we still have a month and a half left.
Is there like a
mechanics? I don't really know.
What was the game plan against Soler there in the sixth inning?
Just trying to throw a slider away and on it.
Over your career, you've been obviously much better the first time through the order. As they go through, they tend to be a little bit better. What do you think that is, and how difficult is it to get a guy out there?
I don't know. I'm not a numbers guy.
Just so tough to fathom how poorly it's gone for Cashner, who looks, by the way, almost exactly like Tungus from those AM/PM Minimart commercials. Tungus! But the numbers don't lie. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't lie. As a rapper of some renown once told us, Cashner in his first 5 Red Sox starts, 7 home runs allowed. In his last 5 starts in Baltimore, it was 0 home runs allowed. No home runs hit by the Red Sox in this game. Devers had a double, but that was about as good as it got. First time in a record-setting 18 home games without a home run. Kansas City hit 3, 2 of them by Jorge Soler, who's now tied for 2nd in the AL with 31. You never see a Kansas City Royal up that high. So Lair, I think mostly due to injury, had only 14 home runs total his first 2 years in Kansas City. But a late bloomer now, he's a force to be appreciated. And it's funny, the wave of Cuban imports, I think, is usually broken down very cleanly between studs and washouts. You've got your Cespedes, Puig, Abreu, Gurriel, Pyle, big-time players. Then you've got Ruzny Castillo and Yosmani Tomas over here. And Soler had always occupied a somewhat lonely middle ground of a Cuban refugee who had been just okay, but he could hit 40 home runs this year. Ryan O'Hearn hit a home run off Cashner, having been 1 for his last 25 at the time he hit that thing. Hunter Dozier homered for a 2nd time in as many games. Kansas City had not hit 3 home runs back-to-back games since 2017. They just did that to the Sox at Fenway. Anyway, Kansas City out-homers Boston 3-0. Kansas City 27th in OPS this year in baseball. The Red Sox 2nd, but them's the Braves. Alex Cora forced to at least talk about all this stuff, talking about leaving Cashner in, all the thought processes during the game. Here's a little bit of AC for you.
Slider for balls, hanging slider for a strike. We're thinking Taylor for the lefty two batters later, but it didn't work out.
He only gave up, I think, 11 home runs in Baltimore, which is obviously a pretty good hitter's ballpark, and he's got 5 starts here. But what do you think the issue is there?
Yeah, I mean, today was the 3 mislocation. The first fastball to Soler was supposed to be down and away. I was up and in, and he put a good swing on it. The one to the left, he threw two changeup hanger, hits out of the ballpark, and then he hung a slider. And, you know, I know he doesn't want to do that. I think command has been on and off. Today, the fastball was actually his best fastball as far as location, except for the one to Soler. But you know, they've taken advantage of the pitches in the zone. We go back to the games, you know, when he got here to Oscar, the changeup down the middle. Mancini, there was a changeup that hit out of the ballpark. So, you know, when we can't keep the opposition to keep, you know, to keep the ball in the ballpark, we're paying the price, and that's the case with Cash.
Is that something?
I'm sorry. He was pretty good in Baltimore, obviously. Do you think, since he came over, maybe putting too much pressure on himself or just having a hard time making the adjustment?
Not really. You know, we've been looking at stuff, you know, as far as like usage and all that. And in the last one, we talked a little bit about using the four seamer. And he had a good fastball today, I think, velocity wise and location wise. It just, you know, the walk before the homer, you know, with two outs, and then, you know, he misfires right there. It's one swing, two runs. And I'll probably, he'll talk about that one instead of, you know, just misfiring a fastball, you know. As you know, in this game, you give the opposition one extra out or one extra hitter, you know, with two outs. Lineups are going to make you pay, and they did right there. But I don't think it's extra pressure. I think, you know, we keeping things simple. It's kind of like the same game plan. It's just, you know, he's not executing his pitches, and, you know, they hit in the ball out of the ballpark.
Offensively, with runners in scoring position, can you diagnose what's going wrong there besides, you know, things like guys pressing or anything like that? Is there anything beyond that?
I don't know if it's pressure.
That?
I know we expanded the zone today against him. You know, there were some pitches that there's no, in other words, to the edges of the zone, and you can't do damage there. And I think that's what we did. Today we swung at a lot of pitches that, or they were out of zone, or pitches in the edge of the zone that we can't do damage with it.
Any trends you're seeing lately in that regard?
I think last week, you know, it was good pitching in certain situations, but we also swung at pitches in the edges, but it's not like, I don't think it's, you know, it was that bad. But today I felt like we got out of the strike zone, and you saw what happened.
You know, when Cashner first came, it was all about, you know, getting length and getting the sixth innings. But on top of that, how much is it to get this guy right? How important is it to get him right and actually, you know, get wins when he's on the mound?
I mean, there's a reason we brought him here, and you know, we believe he's a good pitcher. You know, you see flashes of his stuff and what he can do. Today he was cruising through, you know, three until that walk, you know, and even there, you know, there's a walk, it's only 2-0, and then you know, he made a pitch on Gordon. He gets, you know, the runner to third. It was a fastball up to the next guy. He got on top of it. There's nothing he can do there. But then, you know, he hung a slider, and that was it. But, you know, we trust him. I think stuff-wise, you know, he's still throwing the ball well. You know, if we have to make adjustments mechanically, we'll take a look at it. But I do feel it's just, you know, location. You know, we saw the walks in the previous one, and today just the three pitches, you know, and that was it right there.
Obviously, you had to scratch JD yesterday with a back issue, and he takes off stealing in the first inning today. What were your thoughts there?
No, that was me. You know, two strikes, looking for a slider or a pitch in the middle. Yeah, he's okay. He was ready to run, so that was me, you know. Yeah.
Anything else, Ralph?
We're good?
All right, that is the manager, and we'll try to give you a couple good things here. Christian Vasquez, 2-for-4 with a double. He's got a new career high in hits now. Already had his career highs and runs batted in, and walks and runs and homers. J.D. Martinez now back up to a .300 batting average right on the belly button. 2-for-4 with a double in the game. He's hitting .388 in his last 17 games. Looks like the back is just fine. Pitching-wise, Marcus Walden very quietly has not allowed a hit to his last 20 batters faced, going back to July the 28th. Darwin's in Hernandez. One more inning, three more strikeouts. Amazing. He has struck out 43% of the batters he's faced as a big leaguer. He is averaging 18.2 strikeouts per nine innings now in the major leagues. And Josh Taylor, not the pyrotechnics like that, but he's at a 2.2 ERA in his 23 games since coming back up on June 14th. I promised you guys a dad joke after every loss this month to try to ratchet up the levity factor. So here you go. Skeleton walks into a bar, says, "Give me a beer and a mop." That's a thinking man's dad joke right there. Now, got to leave you with this before we actually preview the finale of this three-game series with KC. The Players Weekend info came in on Tuesday, and allow me to vent for just a little bit. I hate to sound like a curmudgeon. It's always a thing with me. I don't want to be that guy shaking his fist at the clouds like Grandpa Simpson. This is not about a guy who's middle-aged like me, starting to go gray a little bit, being somebody who doesn't like the whole concept of Players Weekend. I love the concept of Players Weekend. I love the day glow uniforms, the names on the back of the jerseys. We'll get to that in a second. But this monochromatic thing they're going to roll out, white letters and numbers on white jerseys for the home team. I'm not kidding. Black on black for the road team. So the Red Sox Players Weekend, they're going to find themselves in San Diego. I was looking forward to the bright red and blue for the Red Sox, some brown and mustard yellow for the Padres like in the old days. No, it's going to be all black against all white for those three games, and in every other game in the majors too. And this is why I don't like messing around with uniforms in the first place. If you do, at least know kind of which teams are which. Because when you start doing this stuff, if something historic happens, somebody has a four home run game, and you're going to want to look at that forever and ever and show your grandkids. Let's say Mookie Betts has a five home run game in San Diego. And for the ages, it's going to be Mookie Betts in an all black uniform, top and bottom, against a team that is in all white. And you're not going to know who did that against whom. If you watch SportsCenter anytime that weekend, you're going to, well, or even worse, let's say you watch MLB Network and they show all 15 games all in a row. You know what you're looking at? 15 straight games, a full hour of highlights of a black team against a white team. I don't like that even a little. It's not, I mean, that's not instructive. That's not fun. And if the whole idea is to get the players' names on the back of the jersey so we can all appreciate them, how are we going to see white on white or black on black? And then you're going to tell me, okay, well, we're just going to watch it on TV. They'll put the graphics up. What about the people paying $45 to sit in the mezzanine in San Diego? And let's say there are some creative San Diego names, which there are. They won't know what they are. They can't see them. Come on, guys. Anyway, I go back to the 2017 season when they started this stuff with the Players Only Weekend. And there were some good names the Red Sox ran out there. Kimbrel was Dirty Craig. Even Drew Pomeranz was Big Smooth. Sale was Stickman that year. Barnes was Barnacles. I'll give you the rundown here in 19 of what we're looking at. I think even this shows you what kind of season it's been for the Red Sox. So the creativity is a B-minus at best. Barnes is not Barnacles now. He's Barnsey. Benintendi is Benny. Mookie is Mookie. And that should appease Tony Clark, because remember, the Players Union chief said he should be known just as Mookie, and we should all know who that is. So at least that'll be on the back of his uniform. Oh, I'm sorry, if we could read it, what's on the back of his uniform. Xander Bogaerts will be X-Man again. Jackie Bradley Jr., JBJ. Andrew Cashner is Cash. Okay. Michael Chavis says he'd like to be Ice Horse, but he had to put in the request back in April, or actually before that in spring training. Didn't even know he'd be in the big leagues. But his nickname's always been Chief, because he does have Native American blood in him. He's a one quarter, as a matter of fact. So, and that's not offensive. I'm sorry. It's not. If Seth Lugo can call himself Puerto Rican, because he's one quarter Puerto Rican, I think Chief is fine. But he'd rather be Ice Horse. We'll see if he can get it changed. Rafael Devers is still Carita for Babyface. Nathan Eovaldi is Nitro, because he throws 100. Darwin's and Hernandez is Hernandez. Brock Holt isn't even Brockstar this year. He's BH. Brian Johnson is BJ. Don't laugh. Seriously. Sandy Leon is Noah, because that's his son. JD Martinez is Flacco again, means skinny. Goes back to his high school days. Mitch Moreland is still Two Bags for Mitchie Two Bags. Steve Pierce was, if he had been around, would be Pierce. Dustin Pedroia, if he were here, would be Petey. Rick Porcello is going to be Porcello. Come on, guys. David Price is going to throw up the X. X for his son, Xavier, X410, his uniform number now. Eduardo Rodriguez, El Gualo. Chris Sale, the conductor. I love that he's embracing this. The conductor punches the tickets, right? When you get on a train, and with all the punch-outs, that's where he's going with that. I don't mind that one at all. Josh Taylor is Taylor. Sam Travis, Dr. Chill. You're the winner so far, Sam. I'm digging Dr. Chill. Christian Vasquez has always been Colo. Marcus Walden, it will be Waldo. There he is. Ryan Weber is Webb, and Brandon Workman is Work. This whole podcast has been Work tonight. I'm just trying to find some interesting things to say after a 6-2 loss to Kansas City. At the very least, we can look forward now to an Eduardo Rodriguez start on Wednesday. That is the finale. And they get this win, they end up 5-1 in the season series, as they should against Kansas City. Eduardo against Glenn with two N's, Sparkman. Sounds like a State Farm insurance agent, like a good neighbor. Glenn Sparkman is there. Erod has already beaten KC once this year. No walks, 7 strikeouts, and 6 innings back at Kauffman Stadium in June. For the year, 4.19 ERA. It's a little higher than last year, but he's already 6 innings past where he ended last year. And his record is 13-5, same as last year, by the way. Difference is the Red Sox were otherwise 95-49 in non-Erod decisions last year. This year, they are 47-51. Anyway, if you get this win Wednesday, you've still got the shot at the 6-1 homestand, which I said on the podcast yesterday is what you really do need to have when you're entertaining the Royals and the Angels. The Angels are a mess right now, just clobbered by injuries. You really should sweep that team. You gave Kansas City one on Tuesday. Get one back on Wednesday, fellas. We'll have a podcast for you after it's done. This is Josh Lewin. Thanks so much for tuning in. We like to call it Sox Daily. Tell your friends about it. Subscribe to it. We appreciate it. Take care.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.